comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. The Filipov Files, that's the name of our special broadcast that will take place on Saturday, this Saturday. It is a special broadcast. That means that it's in our members' community. If you're not a member, you will not be able to see it. And so you need to join, okay? A special broadcast, well, that's a gift that I give to members every once in a while. And this one is really special. The Filipov Files, Dr. Lachizar Filipov of Bulgaria. He is the deputy director of their equivalent of NASA, and he has some interesting things to say in discussing and talking about extraterrestrials and communications with extraterrestrials, so you want to be sure that you get in on that. The only way to be sure you get in on it is to, number one, join, be a member, and then secondly, you have to click that link in the members community and register for this special broadcast, and then we will email you the information on how you can watch it. It's only $7.50, you know, to become a member. That's all. $7.50, 25 cents a day. And we don't sell advertising spots for this show. Therefore, we have no advertising income. We are 100% listener supported. Our members are what bring you this show each and every night. People who stand with us and support the show. They are why you get to hear this show free every night. It's not actually free. Somebody's paying for it. Why don't you join, support the show, and get all the great stuff that's in our members area? Go to my website, look over there on the left. You see that big ad over there on the left that says hoorah? Look at the stuff that's listed there. And that's just part of what's in the members community. $7.95. You and only you can fix it if you are not a member. Tonight I'm going to be doing something that I've never done before. In all the years I've been doing this show, I've never done this. I am going to defend a guest that has been on this show. Now, I don't normally do that. In fact, I don't do it. Guests have to stand on their own two feet. But something is afoot. And something is afoot in terms of targeting Peter Lindbergh with disinformation. I know it's disinformation, and I'm going to show it to you tonight. It happens that I would be doing this story even if he had not yet been a guest on this show, because I defend the truth. Disinformation is a lie. We'll be back right after this. right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, I'm going to do something tonight that I have never done. And that is, I'm defending a guest on this show. It is my policy, and has been for 12 years, if you appear as a guest on this show, you stand on your own two feet. So if you say something that somebody thinks is outlandish, or that I have questions about, we're going to ask you questions about it. I will, and our audience will, when I open up the telephone lines. And you have to stand on your own two feet. I don't try to interpret what you said in a way that the audience is going to find it more palatable or whatever. You are on your own. And I have never defended a guest. As it turns out, I would be doing this show tonight even if Peter Lindbergh had not been a guest on this show. However, he has been, and so that puts me in the position of defending Peter Lindbergh. And defend him against what? Well, how about disinformation in the media? Now, before we get into that, I want to show you how this works, and I want to show you why this is necessary. I'm going to give you two real good examples. Three. First, if I use the word flying saucer, don't get cerebral with me now. Just what do you think of when you hear the term flying saucer? You think of a circular disc flying in the air, right? Because that is the classic description of a flying saucer. But where did we get this term flying saucer? Well, there was a guy in 1947 by the name of Kenneth Arnold who was flying a private airplane, and he saw a group of very unusual aircraft vehicles. They were not airplanes, and they were flying at an incredible speed. And he said to the press they were skipping along as if you took a saucer and skipped it across the water. So the media called it flying saucers. Kenneth Arnold never called it flying saucers. He never described it as flying saucers. He said they were moving like if you took a saucer and skipped it across the water. It was just, they were bouncing along through the air. They were skipping along. But the vehicle that he described and that he actually drew and portrayed for the press is circular around the front. I mean, it's arched around the front of it. And then it comes to points at the end, with a point at the back. So there's three points at the back. Looks absolutely nothing like a flying saucer. That was totally, completely, absolutely fiction invented by the media. And then they have used that over and over and over and over and talked about flying saucers. They invented it, then they use it to debunk. They do the same thing with the little green men. Nobody, to the best of my knowledge, has ever described seeing little short gray green men. They say they're gray or bluish gray, but little green men. It's an invention of the media. And then if somebody starts talking about having seen an extraterrestrial, the press reports things like, you know, they'll come on television and say, "Have you seen little green men in East Dallas, Texas? Well, some residents there think they have." When those people describe what they saw, they don't describe little green men. That is a media caca. That is all that is. That is Toro caca. And something similar to that is happening with Peter Lindbergh. And the media is doing it, and it's working, and it's working. The media is doing it, but also the disinformation operatives inside the UFO community are doing it, and it is working. And I'm going to now give you some evidence that it's working. I'm going to read to you something that is on my Facebook wall. I put up an announcement that I would be talking about this tonight, and one of the responses says, "I don't know. It was a giant mushroom, then U.S. and Russian Navy took over the area, then it turned off electronic devices. Pretty convoluted." Well, what's convoluted here? First of all, let me say, that one's on my Facebook wall, but that is not the only comment like that I got. I got three emails with very similar comments. And what's convoluted is that comment. Because what the person has done is taken all the crap that's been written by the disinfo people, jumbled it all up together with a few facts that Peter Lindbergh has talked about, and poured it all out in one stream as if that's the story. That's disinformation. That is absolute, total disinformation. It is Toro Kaka. That kind of stuff wins the Kevin Smith Show Steaming Toro Kaka Award. But we have something that we are actually going to dig into here tonight, and that is a news story that's out there, and it's supposedly a news story, allegedly a news story, that's out there. It's written by someone who is a respected science journalist, and it quotes a respected scientist. But I'm going to show you tonight whether they intended it or not, and I have to think they would. Certainly, I would think the writer of the article would know better. Whether they intended it or not, it is disinformation about Peter Lindbergh and about the amazing find that he and his team have made on the floor of the Baltic Sea. Now, I have no particular reason that I feel like I need to defend Peter Lindbergh. He's the head of the Ocean X team. They are the ones who discovered this thing on the floor of the Baltic. They are the ones who dove down and have provided some video and have provided sonar of the sonar image of the thing. And tonight I will show a sonar image that's, you heard him here on the show talking about it, the multi-beam 3D sonar, and it's pretty amazing. But anyway, I have no particular reason to defend Peter Lindbergh. He's not related to me. He and I have no financial arrangements. He's just a guy that's been a guest on this show, and in fact, you may remember, he and I got off to a rocky start and through a misunderstanding. And the first show that I did where I mentioned Peter Lindbergh, I was pretty rough on him. And but I said, you are absolutely welcome to come on this show and say what you want to say. And he did. He came on this show and he spent 2 hours talking to us. And he answered questions. I asked questions about a lot of the stories that were out there, some of which are mentioned in that Facebook posting. And he gave us straight answers about it. I have no particular reason, no personal reason, to want to defend Peter Lindbergh. But I do have a great personal and philosophical interest in defending the facts. And this story that's out there is not factual, but because it's written by a, first, let me back up and restate that, because that's not exactly factual. this story does present you some factual things, statements of fact. But it's done in a way to manipulate your perception. And let me see what the name of this, the title of this is. The perception manipulation begins right here. Is the Baltic Sea, quote, sunken UFO, an elaborate scam? Well, that's where the perception manipulation starts, because Peter Lindbergh and his team never once said that's a UFO. So what we have right here in the headline, and by the way, this headline and this article are written by Natalie Walchover. And this article appeared on livescience.com. I've gotten lots of people sending me the link to it, and you know, I've gotten comments like, well, it looks like maybe, you know, here we go again, another scam. Hold your horses, Pedro. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what you heard Peter Lindbergh say with his own mouth right here on the show? Are you going to believe a headline that's a blatant lie and then an article that supports it? Peter Lindbergh and his team have never one single time said that that's a UFO. Do you know who said that? You did. You went in the forums, now not everybody, but a bunch of you, you went in the forums all over the internet and started talking about how that looks like the Millennium Falcon and a UFO has been found, and you know, and you blustered this story up, and you know, you participated in the sheepleness here. So what she did is took what you did and put it in the headline. But Peter Lindbergh and his team have not one single time said that that's a UFO. So here we start with an article that says, is the Baltic Sea, quote, sunken UFO, end quote, an elaborate scam? So she has set up a straw man here, a straw argument here. Now, Natalie Walchover, just like I have no particular reason to defend Peter Lindbergh, I have no particular reason to attack Natalie Walchover. I don't know her. I only know what she wrote. She wrote that headline, and she wrote that article. At least it's published under her name. And if she is the professional journalist I think she is, because I've read some other things by her, she knew better than to do that. And she knows better than to do that. And if she knew better, and she did it anyway, then she knew she was participating in perception manipulation. She knew she was participating in disinformation. Peter Lindbergh, not a single time, has called that a UFO. As far as I know, no one on his team, one single time, has called that a UFO. So we know right from the headline we're in for disinformation. So just like the press, the media invented flying saucers, when Kenneth Arnold never said anything of the type, they invented flying saucers. Then they use it and throw it back in your face and say, ah, it's bunk. There's no such thing as flying saucers. Probably not. If the press says it, it probably doesn't exist. They invented little green men. Then they throw it back in your face and say, ah, they don't exist. Well, you're right, they don't, except in the media. The Baltic Sea UFO is an invention of two parties. It's an invention of people in our audience and people, and I hope there's a small percentage in our audience that participated in this. I hope it's a very small percentage. But people in our audience, people in other parts of the UFO community, going on to forums and start blowing this thing up and talking about it's a UFO, it's a UFO, they found a UFO under the ocean. She picked up on it, participated in that stupidity, in that Toro Kaka, and she capped it off and wins the Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award for this year. It's the first one I've given away this year. Natalie may be a fine person. I suspect she is. I have nothing personal about, nothing personal against Natalie, and I know nothing personal about Natalie. Natalie Walchover. But I know she wrote this article, and I know she's smarter than this. And I bet she didn't think she was going to get caught on this. So Natalie, as I put in my Facebook posting, and I hope someone sent it to you, I hope you're watching tonight. And perhaps you can call in whenever I open the telephone later in the show and explain to us why you went with the Toro Kaka headline. When you knew Peter Lindbergh and his team never claimed that was a UFO. But it gets worse than that, folks. Because in this article, Natalie Walchover implies that Peter Lindbergh and his team are a bunch of scam artists, and she quotes somebody, which I'll show you in a minute, she quotes somebody as basically saying that. She says that the team that discovered a huge UFO shape object, that's correct, it is a UFO shape, on the floor of the Baltic Sea last year are having a heck of a time figuring out what it is. And then she says, a suspiciously hard time, some would say. Then she pulls one statement out about how electronics stopped working when they got right over the ship. Now, it is true, one of the divers said that some of the electronics stopped. Peter Lindbergh, because I asked him about that directly, said, well, no, what happened was the satellite telephone would not work. And so we had to move away. We noticed as we moved away, it began to work again. All right, more on this when we come back. It's deeper.
Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are talking about the Peter Lindbergh story, and actually we're talking about some really bad disinformation that's been set loose on this story. And it was set loose by Natalie Walchover in an article that she wrote and was published, or at least I say she wrote it, I assume she did. It's published under her name on LiveScience.com. And it is bad, bad reporting. It's good writing, bad reporting. Well, it's not really good writing. It's pretty good writing because Natalie, where you say it's a UFO shape, it should be shaped. Should have a D on the end of that. Anyway, it's in a major publication on the internet, and it starts off with a blatantly false, inaccurate headline. She knows that Peter Lindbergh and his team have never claimed that that was a UFO. But in this article, the title of the article is the Baltic Sea Sunken UFO an Elaborate Scam? Is it an elaborate scam? It is, by the media. It is an elaborate scam. This article is an elaborate scam by the media. Because the next thing she does is she gets a scientist from ASU, Arizona State University, and this scientist has the job of looking at photographs from Mars and identifying surface features. So who is running the missions to Mars that are producing these pictures? NASA. NASA consistently releases photographs to you that are full of fog, red filtering, and disinformation. So the expert now who's going to talk to us about this Baltic Sea find is a guy who works in that process that provides disinformation to you. Now, that doesn't mean that he provides disinformation. He probably accurately identifies things on the surface of Mars for his bosses. But then it comes to you, fogged, blurry, red-filtered, fake. So he's part of the process that's bringing you all the disinformation about Mars. That's her expert. Now, his name is Jonathan Hill. I have nothing against Jonathan Hill. He may be a fine person. His photograph, he looks like a very friendly kind of person, like the kind of person you'd enjoy going out and having lunch with and talking with him, and probably a great person. And as I said, I'm not saying that Jonathan Hill is providing disinformation to you about Mars. I bet he's not. I bet he is accurately identifying what he sees on the ground on Mars. But by the time it gets to you, his bosses, that all goes upstream. And NASA releases to you blatantly disinformation or blatant disinformation in their photographs and in their statements about Mars. Now, in case you're new to the show and you are wondering, well, what kind of disinformation are you talking about? NASA wouldn't give us disinformation. Oh, come on, grow up. Are you kidding? How about they tell you that there's virtually no atmosphere on Mars? It's not even 1% of the Earth's atmosphere. And yet they built an airplane to fly on Mars. I often show pictures of it right here on the show. Now, how do you fly an airplane without air? Would you explain that to me? I'm talking about an airplane. It's got wings. How do you fly an airplane without air? They tell you there's almost no atmosphere there. Then they build an airplane. They use parachutes. How does that work with almost no atmosphere? They use parachutes when they land on Mars. Granted, the atmosphere is thinner. Is it as thin as they say? Well, they built an airplane to fly on Mars. They use parachutes. They say there can't be any liquid water, and their own pictures show liquid water. So, even though Jonathan Hill, I do not suspect, is directly giving you disinformation about Mars. He is part of the process that brings it to you. So let's take a look at some statements that Jonathan Hill made in this article. He said, Peter Lindbergh, head of the Ocean X team, or the article says, Peter Lindbergh, head of the Ocean X team, either has let his imagination run wild or has an ulterior motive. According to Jonathan Hill, a researcher at the Mars Space Flight Facility at Arizona State University, who analyzes images of the planetary surface features taken during NASA's Mars missions. So he says that Peter Lindbergh has either let his imagination run wild or has an ulterior motive. That's according to Jonathan Hill. Well, Jonathan Hill either has let his imagination run wild or he has an ulterior motive, according to Kevin Smith. How has Peter Lindbergh let his imagination run wild? And what is this ulterior motive, Jonathan Hill? Well, let's dig a little deeper. The article says, in this case, and this is in quotes now, this is Jonathan Hill speaking, in this case, the team clearly has a lot to gain from an extraordinary claim, he said. Mr. Lindbergh is already making plans to take, quote, wealthy tourists down in his submarine to view the object. If he had used a rock hammer to break off a small piece of the object, a geologist could have determined whether it was pillow basalt in a few minutes. If it turned out to be a pillow basalt and not a, quote, mysterious UFO-like object, Mr. Lindbergh wouldn't have much of a business plan, would he? Okay, look here, Jonathan Hill, what's the extraordinary claim? Are you implying that Peter Lindbergh claimed that this was a mysterious UFO-like object? Well, you give me the date when he said it. You tell me what publication it's in where he's quoted as saying that. You tell me where I can see the video and listen to him say that, because he didn't say that. You did. You and Natalie are the constructors of a house of cards here. You have constructed something that is unreal. It's not true. And you know it. He didn't say that. You did. What's his extraordinary claim? Tell me, what is his extraordinary claim? It certainly is not that this is a UFO-like object. That's your claim. You are assigning that to him. You made that up. You assigned it to him. He didn't say it. Secondly, they did break off a bit of that and brought it back for testing. We don't have any test results yet. They did do that, Jonathan. Third, he doesn't own a submarine. Where'd you get that crap? I know where you got it. You saw a picture of him on the internet standing in front of a submarine and speculating that it would be a wonderful thing if people could use something like that and go down and look at this themselves. He doesn't own a submarine. I know, because I asked him. So just, what is your ulterior motive, Jonathan? What is it? Is it your motive to discredit Peter Lindbergh and make people think that all this crap you're talking about him actually came from Peter Lindbergh? Well, that's your motive, because you're participating in it. Your motive is clear. It's in print right there, you know, as a result of Natalie's word processor. You and Natalie teamed up on Peter Lindbergh and Ocean X team you ascribe to them things they never said, and then you began to attack those things as though they had said them. Now, livescience.com, shoot. You go ahead and publish whatever you want to publish, but I'm going to tell you something. Crap like this is going to get you the same ratings as CNN has. In the toilet. If I were you at livescience.com, I would call Natalie in and I would scorch her for this crap. I don't think you ought to fire her. She's apparently a good reporter, but she needs to be scorched for this. And you guys at livescience.com need to print a retraction. That's what you need to do. This is blatant disinformation. Now, I don't know if it's blatant disinformation because these people just feel called of God to do it, or if they're getting a paycheck to do it. I don't know. But it is disinformation. Now, I've got Peter Lindbergh for 2 hours. I have the video and the audio for 2 hours. Where we talk to him and we ask him tough questions. All that crap, you know, about the Russian Navy and the American Navy and all that. Now, that's not in the article, but that is in that Facebook response. I asked him about that and he said, no. That's not it. The Russian Navy was doing exercises way down at the other end of the Baltic Sea. And we were running sonar, which probably could be picked up by them. And a Swedish naval ship came out to check and see what were they doing, asked them what they were doing, and they explained, the OceanX team explained what they were doing and told the Swedish naval ship, you know, we're doing a grid search and actually you're right in the path of where we're going. If you could, would you mind moving a bit? And the Swedish naval ship did. Now, that's the real story. All that other crap, that stuff ginned up in the forums by people who don't know anything, or maybe by paid disinformation officers. But it is crap, and it's not true. It never was true, and it never came from the OceanX team. Now, we go back to the article. A UFO-like object, and he puts it in quotes. Lindbergh and his team never, ever said it was a UFO. They never said it was a UFO-like object. Where did you get that caca? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about this really, really bad journalism. Not typical, I think, of Natalie Walchover. I think it's not typical. I've read some other stuff that Natalie Walchover has written, and as I said, I don't have anything personal against Natalie Walchover. I have nothing personal against this Jonathan Hill. Jonathan Hill out at ASU. Nothing personal. But this article targets Peter Lindbergh and the OceanX team with information that is absolutely not true. I said at the top of the show, and I've said a couple of times, even if Peter Lindbergh had not been a guest on this show, I would be doing this show tonight, even if Peter Lindbergh had never been my guest. But as it turns out, he has been, so defending the truth here means I'm defending Peter Lindbergh as well. But the truth is, Peter Lindbergh and his team never made those statements. They never claimed it was a UFO. They didn't say it was UFO-like. If somebody asked them, well, is it shaped like a UFO? He probably would say, yeah, I mean, it's circular, and you know. But he's very, very cautious, Peter Lindbergh is. Now, from the beginning, I said, when I first looked at the sonar image that was released last year, when I first looked at it, I said, well, it looks constructed, it looks artificial, but it looks like rocks to me. And I'm on record as having said that many times. I've written that, I've published that, I thought perhaps it was some type of ancient ruins that simply, you know, because of if it was constructed prior to the end of the last ice age, when the ice age began to end and all of that ice began to melt and the seas rose 300 feet, it covered it up with water, and it is under about 300 feet of water. And so I said, I think it's artificial, but it looks like rocks to me. It looks like some ancient ruins of some kind. Now, Peter Lindbergh and I talked about that. And I asked him, I said, you know, do you think it could be some ancient ruins? He said, well, it might be. We just don't know what it is. The closest I could get any commitment out of him on this was he said, well, it does appear as if it's something constructed. And I'm going to show you in a minute why. Those who are watching, I'm going to show you why. But I want to talk about Natalie's part in this disinformation. Natalie, as a journalist, should have known what Peter Lindbergh and his team actually said about this. Did they say it's unusual? Yes, they did. Did they say it's something like we have never seen before? Yes, they did. Did they say it's a UFO? No, they didn't. And you started, Natalie, with your headline. You started by implying that they were claiming it was a sunken UFO. You put it in quotes. And then you published Jonathan Hill's outlandish statements without citing one single quote from Lindbergh that made an extraordinary claim. In fact, you didn't quote anything from Lindbergh. So you had a participation in this disinformation, Natalie, whether you were being paid to do it, or whether you thought that you were doing disinformation. I don't know all that. Only you and God know that. And the paymaster, if you got paid to do this. That's it. But the fact is, Natalie, you published a salacious account. And, I mean, it's one of the worst disinformation attempts I have ever seen. It starts off with a lie in the headline. And all the way through, you set up straw men that don't exist, imply they do, and then attack them. So I want to know, Natalie, what is the extraordinary claim that Peter Lindbergh and his team made? What is it? I want to know, what evidence do you have that he owns a submarine? I asked him about it, and he said no. I want to know if you ever actually talked to Peter Lindbergh. If you did, then you know that your story is a lie. Maybe the word lie is a bit too strong. You know your story is perception manipulation. You know that. Now the point is, you and Hill have been caught. Now maybe you've never heard of the Kevin Smith Show. I doubt that. But maybe you've never heard of the Kevin Smith Show. If that's the case, it's to your great misfortune that you've never heard of it. Because someone should have told you, I'll catch it. Someone should have told you, I'll check it. I'll catch it. And somebody should have told you, I'll be on the air with it. Your headline is not true. It is a lie. Nobody in that team ever claimed it was a sunken UFO. You used outlandish claims by Jonathan Hill, who was saying that Peter Lindbergh and team were making outlandish claims. That is itself an outlandish claim. You had to know that. If you didn't know that, well, you flunked Journalism 101. You're supposed to check that stuff. And now you know. If you didn't know, now you know. And now you know the Kevin Smith Show is going to watch. And we are going to catch it when the media does stuff like this. Not you, Natalie, but you media invented flying saucers. You invented little green men. You invented fiction and crap about the Kosovo War, probably also about Iraq and Afghanistan. And you feed it to the public. And the public just sits back and goes, okay. But when I catch it, I'm going to point it out. And I'm going to do so with specificity. Now, what Peter Lindbergh said is, we have definitely found something very strange, but we don't know what it is. That's what he said. And he said that over and over and over. He said it to me and to my audience for 2 hours. He said it on television, in English, and in Swedish. He has not claimed anything that you implied in your article. But people read your article because it's on livescience.com. And because it's there, they have a trust for it. And then they say, oh, well, here we go again. Lindbergh and team are doing another UFO hoax. And they're not. Now, this brings up an interesting question, Natalie. Why? Why did you do it? And I can tell you why. Because there's information about to break that somebody doesn't want to break. Don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But you are part of creating the black hole in the information. You are part of trying to get the sheeple, the mushrooms, to think this Peter Lindbergh and his group, it's just another hoax. You're part of that. You got caught. And you've been exposed. Now, I don't suspect that you are pleased with tonight's show. You are Jonathan Hill, but I mean, you know, you got to wonder about, never mind. Peter Lindbergh answered the question on my show, why don't we have better pictures? Why didn't the divers back off and take a panoramic view so we could see what this thing looks like? He answered that. Did you ask him that, Natalie? Well, I'll give you the answer when we come back. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. Man, have you missed, completely missed three or four universes of information here. My sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Become a member, and then you can get it in the archives. And in fact, you can watch the show. Yes, this show, you can watch it for the next 24 hours. And you can watch it live every night. All right, very quick reminder, the Philippoff Files special broadcast coming up this Saturday. You have to be a member to watch it. You have to register. If you are a member, you must register to get the information on how to watch this. All right. Registration closes tomorrow night after the show. If you haven't registered by then, you will not be able to watch it. So be sure you register. We're talking this evening about this really bad journalism, disinformation article that was published by LiveScience.com and was written by Natalie Walchover, in which it quotes Jonathan Hill, who looks at pictures from Mars and identifies surface features, and then all that goes upstream, and you know, NASA sends you pictures that are red filtered and blurry and hazed, and they, you know, well, anyway, and she quotes him, and the two of them together imply that Peter Lindbergh and his team said things or were putting out information that Peter Lindbergh and his team didn't do. Now, they set up these straw men in the article. Then they attack the straw men, and it is written in such a way as to make it look like that's somehow a reflection on Peter Lindbergh and the Ocean X team. It's a reflection on Jonathan Hill and Natalie Walchover. This is disinformation. Now, again, their personal motives? I don't know. You know, look, Jonathan, maybe you didn't know anything about what Lindbergh and team actually said. Maybe all you knew is what you read in the media, which you've got. Look, you're a smart guy. You're supposed to know the media is lying when they start talking. So maybe that's how you got into this. I don't know. But if so, the journalist in that, if that's what happened, the journalist is using your name and your credentials to give credibility to an article blatantly designed as disinfo. Or at least that's the result of it. So in other words, Jonathan, if you didn't know, you should have known before you opened your mouth. You're one of those experts. And before you open your mouth, you ought to know what you're talking about. So there's, you know, there's really no out here for you. You either did it on purpose or you did it out of ignorance. And with your credentials, you shouldn't be talking to the media out of ignorance. But Natalie, you had a responsibility journalistically to talk to Lindbergh, to get the facts, and to report the facts. And you didn't do that. You reported little green men. You reported flying saucers. You sank to the Toro Caca depths of journalism. I'm disappointed in you, Natalie. I really am. I've read other stuff you wrote, and it was good stuff. You're better than this. Why did you do it? Do you even feel embarrassed about it? Probably not if you got a paycheck for doing it. If you were paid to do a disinfo number on him, on Lindbergh, then you're probably not ashamed of it. You're probably just infuriated that you got caught and that I'm exposing you. Well, exposed you are. Peter Lindbergh never claimed this was a UFO. Now, you said it was suspicious that they were having a hard time figuring out what this is. Okay, why don't you tell us what it is, genius? I asked Peter Lindbergh, why are there no panoramic pictures of this? And he explained, at that depth, there's not enough light, and the water's murky. It's impossible. You can't get pictures. But he said, we used a multi-beam, I think that's what he called it, sonar, and we will get some 3D pictures of this, some images from the multi-beam sonar, but it takes a long time to process that data. Well, ladies and gentlemen, some of those images are completed now, and as he promised, Natalie, they've been released, and those who are watching are looking at one. And we can see the round outside circle of this object. And we can see that there is most definitely construction here. We're looking down on the top of it, and we can see a rectangular cavity, a rectangular hole cut in the top of this thing. And sitting in that rectangular hole looks like, it appears, that there is something sort of octagonal. Now, does this look like a UFO? No, Natalie, no. And he didn't say it was. You did. You know what he said? He said, from what I have seen, I can say that it appears to be something constructed. That's all he said about it. He got nowhere near the nonsense that's in your article, Natalie. Now, folks, if you're watching the show, and I hope you are, hope you're a member here at Kevin Smith Show, and I hope you're watching the show. But if you are, then you are seeing one of the images from this multi-beam sonar 3D imaging that Peter Lindbergh on this show promised us would be coming. He said it's being processed as soon as those images are available. He said it takes a long time to process that data, but as soon as they're available, we'll start releasing the images. Well, here we go. He was true to his word. Now you can see why it looks like something constructed. Now, I asked Peter Lindbergh some questions. You know, I asked, okay, you know, people say, for instance, I said, one of the stories that's out there is the Russian Navy and the U.S. Navy blocked the area. He answered that. I told you that. All of the stuff, the various stories that are out there in the forums, I didn't post them. You did. Somewhere out there, when I say you, I'm rhetorically speaking to the public. You posted that stuff out there in the forums on the internet. And I asked him the various stuff that showed up in the internet. I asked him, did it look metallic? He said, no, it seemed like more like concrete. I asked him, did the divers see any writing on this? Now, Natalie, I want you to listen. And Thomas, I want you to listen. You know, Thomas wrote to me and said, oh, you tried everything you could to make it into something paranormal, and Lindbergh just wouldn't go for it. What utter nonsense. I mean, you know, do you always speak out your arse that way? I didn't try to make it into anything paranormal. I asked questions. based on stuff that you folks wrote in forums out there on the internet. And I just asked him about it, and he answered. But I asked, did they see any writing, any kind of markings or anything? And he said no. As far as I know, they did not. Now I'm going to, on our screen here, give us a zoomed in shot. Do you see it, folks? Now, I could be entirely wrong. This may not be writing or markings. I could be entirely wrong. But do you see what it is that I'm referring to? I think there is. Possibly some kind of writing carved into or welded into or whatever. I don't know. But I think it's there. Into the edge of this thing, and now what I'm going to do is show a picture. This picture that you're looking at right now, and I'm going to tell you that what I've done is changed the contrast and brightened up changed the contrast, and then embossed to make things stand out. So yes, I have altered the picture just to make it stand out. So here it is. Maybe you don't see writing there, and I'm not talking about in English. Maybe you don't see any writing there. To me, it looks like there may be some kind of writing at the 12 o'clock position of this picture. So the contrast has been adjusted, the photograph has been embossed. It is not what Peter Lindbergh released. And so for Natalie and for Jonathan, I want to help you here because you seem to have trouble keeping facts straight. Peter Lindbergh did not say that's writing. Kevin Smith did. But even Kevin Smith didn't say it's writing. Kevin Smith said it looks like it could be. Peter Lindbergh did not release a picture with the contrast adjusted and embossed to make it stand out. Kevin Smith did that. Okay, that's spelled K-E-V-I-N-S-M-I-T-H. This is not anything, what I'm just talking about here is not anything that Peter Lindbergh and his team have said or implied. And in fact, when I asked Peter Lindbergh about writing, Peter Lindbergh said no, they didn't see any writing. If you've gotten the impression that I'm somehow upset about this, I would apologize, except that would be a lie. Yeah, I'm upset. I'm upset because a journalist who has a better record than this did this. I know nothing about Jonathan Hill and his record. But I do know this. Either Jonathan knew that Lindbergh never said what he said he said. He either knew that, or he was speaking from ignorance. And either way, one way he's a liar, and the other way, he was foolish. There's no escaping this. Yeah, I'm upset about it. I'm upset about it because Peter Lindbergh seems like a decent guy. And he was very cautious and straightforward whenever I ask him questions. And I ask him very pointed questions based on the stuff the public posted in all those forums. I asked about all those different theories, and he was very straightforward. He was very cautious. He made no extraordinary claim, Mr. Hill, except that he found something that is extraordinary. Now, it's on the floor of the Baltic, and I've shown the picture from the multi-beam sonar. And we can see now what the divers are talking about. And we can see, yeah, it's just one picture, and there's much, much more to see. But from this alone, we can see it is extraordinary to be on the bottom of the Baltic. What is this? It's a circular outside. It has a rectangular cut down into it, a cavity, a big rectangular cavity down into it. What is it? Well, they have said they don't know. I don't know. If you're watching this show and you're looking at this picture, you don't know. Is that extraordinary? Is that an extraordinary claim to say it's there? Well, there's the picture of it. It isn't an extraordinary claim when you have pictures of it, Jonathan. Now, I said, I know the reason the disinfo piece was done. I don't know that this is behind. I don't know that Natalie Walchover was consciously thinking about this or had any knowledge of it. I'm not implying that. And I'm not implying that Jonathan Hill was conscious of it or had any knowledge of it. But behind the disinformation is somebody doesn't want us to know, whatever that is. Somebody doesn't want us to know. Now, I want to deal with one final thing in this article. I've already mentioned it. Jonathan Hill says that Lindbergh has either let his imagination run away with him. Come on, Jonathan Hill, are you nuts? People all over the world just saw the picture. He didn't let his imagination run away with him. He said it's an extraordinary thing, whatever it is. It's fascinating. It's something we don't know what it is. Okay, we just saw the picture of it, and all of us agree. What's wrong with you, Jonathan? It's not a geological formation. That much we can see. That much we can see. It is constructed, or at least if it's a geological formation, it certainly has been altered by the hand of man dramatically. But here it is. He said he's either let his imagination run away with him or has an ulterior motive. And then you talk about how he wants to take tourists down to see this. Well, hell, I'd pay to go see it. I'm not a diver. And if I could get in a submarine and go down and see it, you bet I'd do that. And you think that a private businessman like him, he's not in the business of finding anomalies. He's in the business of finding wrecked ships and recovering them, and he's darn good at it. He has made history at it. In the process, they accidentally found this thing. And you think somehow it's immoral for a guy who's in business for himself, has to earn a living for his family, you think somehow that's an ulterior motive to say, well, you know, hey, if people want to go down and look at it, it would be great if we could take them in a sub like this one. It's not his. He doesn't own it. I think it's a fantastic idea. Tell me, Jonathan, do you do your job without a paycheck? If tomorrow they walk in and they say, we're not going to pay you for looking at Mars pictures anymore. You got a lot of credentials, and you ought to want to do this just to get the word out. Would you do it? I guarantee you won't do it. Is that an ulterior motive, Jonathan? To want to be paid for your work? That's an ulterior motive? Man, get your head back out in the sunshine. Folks, they're not through tap dancing on Peter Lindbergh, but he's releasing the information just like he promised. And they're going to continue to put forth disinformation and do everything they can to discredit this man, and they all need to take a flying leap straight to hell. He's been open, he's been honest, He hasn't gone where the UFO people want him to go. He hasn't gone where the ancient alien people want him to go. He hasn't gone in. He hadn't done any of that. You know what he's done? He's stuck to the story of what they've actually seen. He did that for 2 hours here on this show. This is an honorable man, and he does not deserve this crap. But I got news for you. You're honorable too, and you don't deserve it. You don't deserve what this article tried to do to you. You don't deserve it. What you deserve is a retraction printed on livescience.com. That's what you deserve. All right, I perhaps boiled over a little too much tonight, but then again, no, I didn't. So the telephone lines are open. I'd like to know what you think about all of this. I'd like to get your comments on it. Some of you may even know Peter Lindbergh. You know, in his personal life, I don't know what the guy is like. When I say he's an honorable man, I'm talking about, I suspect he is in all of his life, but I'm talking about his dealings with us, with the public of the world. He's been straightforward and honest and honorable. And he does not deserve this crap. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. I listened to the Peter Lindbergh show, and it's exactly like you said. He never said it was a UFO, and it was almost painful to listen to him not to commit himself to what he thought it was. My thing to you is, you should start a list. This info piece where it's exposed, and start listing these people, such as this Jonathan Hill and this other woman, I can't think of, Natalie, whatever her name is. You know, if they're disinfo people, they're paid to do this one way or another, and not everything they're saying is disinformation, but they are agents for whoever is in charge of this, and
yeah,
they should be exposed.
Yeah, not everything they say is disinformation on purpose, because if they don't mix a little bit of truth in it, then it can't work. You know, a counterfeit bill has to look like the real thing.
I understand what you're saying there, but I think you should start a list. Like I said, and just put it on your website and list these two people, one and two, either way, and say, call and defend yourself. And you never get a call from them.
No, but I issue the invitation to Natalie Walchover and Jonathan Hill that I issued to Peter Lindbergh. And if they've got the guts he has, they'll come on this show and answer this.
Well, they're not honorable.
Well, they may be. Look, here's the deal. You go read other articles by Natalie Walchover. Hang on, we got a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Jerome on the telephone. Jerome, you had said these Natalie and Walchover and Jonathan Hill, these are not honorable people. And I said, well, maybe they are. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why they could have fallen into this or been themselves manipulated into this. We don't know what's behind the scenes for them. All I know is the article is disinfo. And, you know, you read other things she wrote, and she's a good journalist. You know, this is way, way beneath her ability, and it's way beneath the mark that she has set, the standard she set in her other journalism. So, you know, are they honorable people? Perhaps.
Well, Kevin, you know, this Natalie, I haven't read anything else from her, but taking you from your hearing you say that she wrote other stuff that was good, you might get a retraction from her. But this Jonathan Hill, give me an example. When you were in Kosovo, you stood up and you said, "No, this ain't happening."
Right.
Jonathan Hill is seeing pictures every day of Mars. And just how you pointed out in your Mars Maximum and your lectures and stuff, he's in position to see otherwise. And when it goes up to the top and then comes out differently, he could speak out.
Well, he could. And if he did, he would be fired and he would be subject to discrediting and so forth, just like they're doing here to Peter Lindbergh. You know, he's got a family probably. He probably is sitting there thinking, man, I'd like to tell people what I really see in these pictures. You know, my kids have to eat. That's the way this thing works. That's how they manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a rare situation to come up with someone like me who says, what are you going to do? Make me more poor? You know, you're going to make me more broke than I am today? How are you going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do to me?
Well,
and then plus I say, I don't care what you do.
I just don't think even on his deathbed, Jonathan Hill would, you know, rescind this.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be too harsh on either one of these people personally. But professionally, in this article, they've teamed up to put out something that's disinformation about the Baltic Sea object, about the Ocean X team, and about Peter Lindbergh himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't let that slide.
No, I can't either. That's why I'm speaking so harshly of them. And one other thing, and then I'll leave for other people. The picture seems to be almost metallic to me. I thought so the first time.
Okay, you're talking about the multi-beam sonar?
Yes.
It reflects, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And I've seen the writing even before you highlighted it. I thought that there was some type of nomenclature.
Yeah, it appears. I mean, I can't say for sure.
No.
But it appears to me that that is some kind of writing up there.
Kevin, good show, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks for the call. All right, folks, 623-444-5889. I'd like to know what you think about all of this. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, Brent.
This Jonathan Hill guy?
Yeah.
You remember that old definition we used to use about an expert?
Former drip under pressure?
What?
A former drip under pressure?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one. He has no business talking about this stuff underwater. He looks at planets and Mars that's not underwater. So I think he got under pressure and tried to say something. He just didn't know what he said.
Could be. Could be. All right. Brent, thanks for the call.
Thing I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
The other sad thing I want to say is tabloid journalism.
Sad because it's on livescience.com, but yeah, it is tabloidish. It sure is. All right, thanks for the call. We have a flash message from Neville in Australia. Belter of a show tonight, Kevin. The crux of the matter is you went to the horse's mouth for the truth, not the horse's donkey, namely the mainstream media. High applause from us, Kevin. Thanks, Neville. I appreciate it. Let me say to other people that are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, You can call our telephone number, and I hope you will. Sometimes we get calls from people overseas, 623-444-5889. But we know that's expensive. International long distance is expensive. And so we have an additional way for you, if you're not in the USA, if you're not in Canada, we have an additional way for you to get in touch with us and participate in the show, and that's a flash message. Just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it, you'll see a link that says flash message. And this is from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Hey, Kevin, if you ever need a good lawyer, I would like to hire your services. If I ever need a good lawyer, I'd like to hire your services. You did a great job to bring out the truth on this matter, and I sure am glad I did not miss this show tonight. It's a doggone shame that some people have to make a living in the area of character assassination. Sounds political to me. Leonardo, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I took the LSAT, the law school entrance exam, and I passed. But then I had the chance to become an international police officer or go to law school. And if I went to law school, I was going to be broke for the next few years. And if I became an international police officer, I was going to get great pay. And I chose international police officer. I've often regretted that because I wish I were an attorney these days. And I would be a defense attorney, not a prosecutor. But that shocks a lot of people because I'm a cop. But I've seen people get railroaded in court because their attorneys were lazy and just didn't think and didn't ask the right questions. And so I'd be a defense attorney. I don't like to see people get railroaded. If they're guilty, they're guilty. But, you know, if they're not, somebody needs to stand up and force the state to prove their case. That's the way the system's supposed to work. So I would be a defense attorney. You know, my daughter's a lawyer, and darn good one. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Folks, it is truly, as Leonardo says, a shame that there are people that feel like they have to make a living by doing character assassination. There'll be some of that done on me now. And, of course, you know, my attitude, do what you will. But if you're going to go out there and report stuff in our genre, you need to report it accurately and don't imply something that isn't there, or I'll catch it and I'll expose it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
What a show. My God.
Well, what is it that's got you? What is it that's got you so turned on about the show?
I'm sorry, what?
What is it that has you so turned on about the show?
You know, when you become passionate about something, it just, the energy just flows right through the wires. And besides, you know, you don't hold back the punches. You go right for the bullseye. You know, you're completely correct about this. During the show, Kathy and I both were reading over the article. There are two of them, actually. The one that you're referring to, Live Science, is actually an article that's reprinted from their sister website, which I'm looking quickly to see if I can see what that was. Life's Little Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, this is goofy. I mean, but the bad thing is there are going to be people who read this and don't read anything else, and they're going to go, another silly thing that just, let's forget about that and just go about their business.
Well, I think it's intended to do that.
Your approach to this.
Yeah, I think it's intended to make people go, oh, just another hoax.
Yeah. You know, this is, you know, really crappy journalism. I am real sorry that somebody would feel the need to do this. I kind of suspect, having talked to, and I'm sure you've talked to people too, I know you have,
mm-hmm.
that this gal probably talked to this scientist at ASU, told him these things that she wanted opinions on, and he gave opinions based upon the information she provided him. I don't think he ever took the time to look into this before giving a value assessment to what she had to say. And as a result, he's made himself look silly. And I think that should be a good lesson to anyone who's going to provide an opinion, that they need to know what they're talking about before they provide an opinion that's going to be put in print like this, because this is just wrong.
Well, I agree with you. I suspect that Jonathan Hill got used. But I don't know that. I just suspect that. So, Natalie, if you're going to be quoting me, be sure you quote that I said I suspect it. But see, I've seen journalists do this, Jerry. I told you about the journalist that showed up in Kosovo who said we've got word that there's 4,500 Albanians on foot coming across the mountains in this blizzard, fleeing from the Serb army. And I said, no, that's not true. Well, yeah, you know, it's true. And I said, well, all right, let's go check. So we went up to the police station, to the police commander. I had him informed. I told him what was going on. And I said, can you check this for me? And this is the commander of the whole district. And so he called other police commanders across the mountain where these people were supposed to be coming from. They said, no, there's been no movement of people. He called the army commander. And he said, in this blizzard, and we're chasing them? We're inside. We're not chasing anybody. And then she still didn't believe it. I took her out in my car across the mountain through the pass, the only pass they could have come through. We started down the mountain on the other side, stopped at an Albanian house, and you can tell because of the construction. There's an old man outside picking up firewood, and I asked him. I said, there's supposed to be 4,500 Albanians fleeing the Serb army coming through here on foot. I said, have you seen any? And he just laughed and pointed at all the fresh fallen snow. He said, oh, sure, they came through right here. It was a joke to him. And that night, they reported it in the United States that we have unconfirmed reports that this is happening. And it was confirmed to be a lie. But they reported it was an unconfirmed report. Hang on, Jerry, we've got a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Jerry on the line. I forgot where we were, Jerry.
You were telling us about Kosovo and the screwy thing going on with Kosovo. You know, to add to that, we were recently in Athens, Greece. And Mike Adams, Health Ranger, sends out bulletins every day about things going on in the world and other events in this country. Plus, there are news reports, too. We had an email, plus his newsletter that came into us. People were really worried for us because of all the riots going on in Greece, all the unrest. There were firebombs. There were you know, chairs being thrown, rocks being, I mean, it was supposed to be just awful. The military had surrounded the university with soldiers, and the students were doing a sit-in, and homeless people were joining them, and it was just big. Just big. And it was like, holy crap, are you guys all right? When that came in, Kathy and I were leaving the Temple of Zeus, and we were driving by the main place, their Palace of Justice or whatever it's called. It's the big main building where, you know, protesters would be and the guard is standing and so forth. The Prime Minister's building. Anyway, there was nothing going on except pigeons flying around being fed by old men, yeah. Tourists getting their pictures taken with the guard. I even did that. I have a picture I can send to you. So we asked the cab driver, where's the university? And he told us, it's right over this way. And well, we just heard that there are troops all around the university, that there's a big unrest thing going on, there's riots, all this stuff going on. And he looked at me and he started laughing. He says, you're kidding, really? Is that the news from the United States? And I said, yeah. And he says, they would never do anything at the university. There's nothing going on over there. It's the end of the school year, and they're just about to get out of college and have their summer. So there's nothing happening over there. If there was anything that was going to happen, it would be right here where we're parked. And he says, I don't understand why we're over.
Are you okay, Jerry? Jerry, we've lost your audio for some reason.
I probably just poured out.
I'm gonna have to end the call because we've lost your audio, but we did get the message. Thank you. I hope he's okay. sounds like the iPhone is underwater. Anyway. Yeah, that happens all the time. One of the biggest enemies of the truth is the media, and it didn't used to be that way. It has been that way at various points in history, but overall, the media used to, you know, pretty much report to us the straight facts. Well, I've reported to you the straight facts here tonight, and I can prove it. I have the recordings of that show. I know what Peter Lindbergh said. I have read what they published. I have watched his interviews with TV news. And I know that this article is blatant disinformation. Whether it was intended that way or not, it is disinformation. And, you know, I cannot stand blatant disinformation. It is possible for you to report something you think is true and then additional facts come out that show things in a different light. But it's not possible to report that this team claimed it was a UFO or to imply that, which is done both with the headline and the article. It's not possible to do that in ignorance. I mean, you got to know, if you're reporting what these people are saying and you're trying to tear down what they're saying, you got to know what they said. So, you know, any way you slice this, this is an inexcusable act of disinformation. Inexcusable. Journalistically inexcusable. And I said before, I'll say it again, Peter Lindbergh, whatever else you may think about him, is an honorable man. He came on this show after I scorched him. I scorched him because of some things he wrote about this show that were not true. However, I said, I think he didn't hear the show. I think someone told him what was on the show, and he was responding to what they said had taken place, and that never works out. But in that show, I issued to him several times the invitation to be on this show, and he did it. He came here and talked to you. He is straight up, squared away. He was very cautious in saying what they had found and describing what they had found. He is an honorable man. And he said, we have these multi-beam sonar images, but they're being processed right now. That's what he said when he was on the show. And he said, then, you know, when it's all processed, we'll get some good images. We'll be able to release those where everybody can see what the divers saw. And he's begun doing that. He's begun releasing the images. I don't know what more you could ask from Lindbergh. I don't know what more could you ask from the Ocean X team. They've been straight about this. When you see an article like this, there's an agenda. I'm not saying Natalie has an agenda, and I'm not saying Jonathan has an agenda, but somebody does. And the agenda is to keep you from knowing what's down there. That makes me want to know all the more. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You'll have to be very, very quick, but give us your first name and from where are you calling.
Yes, hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington.
Hi, Victoria.
I just called to thank you for broadcasting this, and I think you're doing an excellent job. And, man, what courage you have to stand up to these people that work under the secrecy and cover of protections of corporations and whatnot, who have deep pockets to put out whatever they want to, whether it's true or not. But I would also like to confirm everything that you have said as being absolutely true for what you said and made the statements you made and the statements that Peter Lindbergh made. That's absolutely true. I heard it, I remember it, and it is emblazoned in my mind. And what you're reporting tonight of the falsity and the manipulation of information is so disgusting. I'm really sick of it, and I don't know, except on your show and a few others, where you can go and get the truth. Because I'll tell you one thing, Kevin, the one thing you do not do the thing that they do, is that if you make a mistake, you fess up immediately. If you make a mistake, you apologize immediately.
Yeah.
You have honor, and you have integrity, and you have ethics, and they don't. And I would just really hope that those people can have the courage and have the fortitude and the ethics and the moral responsibility to stand up and say, I goofed, I made a mistake, and I'm
and they might.
Sorry. So
yeah.
That's all I have to say. And
all right, thanks. They might do that. They might do that. We'll have to wait and see. And I hope they do. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. Hope you enjoyed the show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You, well, you, my friends, may call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.